Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
At the NPHET briefing last night, public health officials renewed their appeal to people to continue to observe the COVID restrictions, especially on St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. But numbers indicate that people are already losing the motivation to stick to the rules. So what impact could the bank holiday have on our behaviour and on the coming weeks? Well, I'll be joined in a moment by pub owner Aidan Brown and behavioural economist Pete Lunn. But first, Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of State at the Office of Public Works and Fine Gael TD for County Limerick. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
Thanks for joining us. What's your big concern around what might happen tomorrow?
Well, look, I suppose I can understand it, really. You know, everybody can understand it. You look back at Christmas and you see what happened. So it's a worry, there's no doubt about it. But really, I suppose I'm just trying to impress upon people that we can see the finishing line up ahead. And really, I suppose I'm just asking people to stick with it. It's really hard. We all know that. But tomorrow is a day, just let it pass. Just let it go.
Yeah, but you know, it's going to be 16 degrees. It's going to be a nice day.
Yeah, it's going to be a lovely day.
Most people are off. What exactly are we allowed to do?
The same as you're allowed to do today, unfortunately. Not a lot. Stay within your 5 kilometres. Stick to your family. Exercise with one other household if you want to. But pretty much stay at home. Stay within your 5K. And do what you're doing today. So
yeah, it was
not anything else.
I was having a look at the rules, and under exercise and sporting events, it says people can meet up with people outdoors for exercise. Now, how do you understand that?
So if you have made a commitment that you go for a walk with one other household, that's it. You know, not a picnic, not meeting up with another family to, you know, have a puck around in the park or anything like that. Where it's going to turn into a social event, or a bi-family gathering.
So one family can meet up with another family, but you must stay moving.
It's exercise. It is the run seal, like it is what it says on the tin. So it isn't like kids are going to be playing around with each other for a half an hour, and the parents are sitting down on a park bench having a latte. That's not exercise. And I know this sounds terrible, but like tomorrow's a bank holiday that we're just going to have to let it go. Tomorrow's a day maybe for the garden. Tomorrow's a day for, you know, taking in what's within your immediate 5K. Doing a bit of work maybe around the outside of the house. It's going to be a really nice day. It's a day maybe for using the hashtag that RTE together with the government's department have put in place to go virtual for a virtual St. Patrick's Day parade. So if you have photographs that you want to post online, so to become a bit more adventurous. And I've said it on your programme as well, Claire, before, steer away from the alcohol. Keep away from it if you can at all. It's not a day that we need to see, you know, the virus creep into houses and take off. So, look, I come from a county where we have a really high prevalence of this thing, and we need to try and keep a lid on it.
Yeah,
so
you know, though, that people will have their takeaway alcohol ready to go.
Yeah, of course I do, because we didn't deal with it as a country. And, you know, I'm very critical of the way in which we didn't deal with it. And it was a massive failure.
Didn't we deal with what?
We didn't deal with the sale of alcohol before Christmas, and I think we paid a very dear price for it. And, you know, I was criticised. I was lampooned by some of my own political colleagues that this was something that just wouldn't work. And I think we paid a very dear price for it.
What was your suggestion again?
I think, if you remember back before Christmas, I suggested that we needed to address the volume and amounts of alcohol that was on sale and the time frames by which off licences were allowed to sell alcohol. It was actually something that NPHET themselves discussed, but look, it was something that was thrown out the window. I think that 12 months on from the pubs being closed, we saw what happened with the uncontrolled sale of alcohol. You saw yourself in relation to the pictures that emanated from Limerick City 2 weeks ago. That's not the only place. We saw funerals all over the country where it was just left to go totally unregulated. We saw people that died as a result of attendance at funerals. I mean, in counties up and down the country, we have seen, you know, some scandalous scenes. And I hope that, like, I'm not on your show next week saying, you know, look what happened in St. Patrick's Day. But and it's a minority that's doing this. But look, tomorrow's going to be a lovely day. Kids are off school. Thanks be to God, they're all back to school in the primary school sector, at least. So the vast majority of people are very responsible.
Yeah, but it sounds as though, Patrick O'Donovan, you're expecting people, a certain cohort of people, to drown the shamrock tomorrow with great intent.
Well, if they would do it with water, it would be fine. And, you know, the vast majority of people will. And they'll look to the opportunity, I think, that people like RTE have made available through, you know, their own online portals that they've, you know, that they want to make it a child-friendly St. Patrick's Day and a virtual St. Patrick's Day where people around the world will be able to connect with their families at home, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So, look, you're always going to have a minority, and I don't expect tomorrow to be any different, to be honest, but I hope that minority will be as small as possible.
Do you still think, now that there's scope, to look at closing off licences earlier?
Well, look, I think that, thanks be to God, the amount of people that are being, you know, that are coming out the other side of this disease is growing every day, and that's a good thing. And I think more and more people are getting the message that that the clowning around and the fooling around has done an awful lot of damage, so it's become less and less and less. But unfortunately, you know, what we saw in the run-up to Christmas, and it was the gatherings really around funerals, mm-hmm. Particularly in this part of the world, did a huge amount of damage.
Okay.
And then we had the shee beans and the, you know, the unauthorised pubs. I mean, we had the most elaborate pubs that were operating. You saw pictures of them in the Irish Independent and everything else. Even when there were licensed pubs operating, you wouldn't have seen the likes of them, that they were so well decked out. And we saw guards then having to go out, endangering themselves and their own families, to go out and counteract these yahoos. I mean, it's unbelievable what some people have done to the rest of the community over the last 12 months in the name of enjoying themselves.
Well, Patrick, if you can stay on the line, I want to bring in Aidan Brown. Aidan, you own Pather Brown's pub on Clonbrassil Street in Dublin. You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. You say that the government hasn't given guidance to publicans. You're not selling takeaway pints, but you know that others are.
Yeah, look, I think it's madness now at this stage that we're here again. Like, you know, it seems like with everything else, we've just come full circle and we're talking about the same things. I was on radio last year talking about this and I'm here again.
And do you expect that there will be problems tomorrow where you are?
In the city centre, see, you have to throw in there that there's a few anti-lockdown protests tomorrow, which is not going to help, you know. So you mix that in with bars doing takeaway drinks and cocktails. You know, it's madness. It's absolute, mm-hmm. absolute madness.
And are you aware, Aidan, that there are a good few places selling takeaway drink?
Yeah, but there was a few of them there at Christmas and it wasn't a problem. People weren't congregating because it was only a small few pubs and it wasn't widely advertised. But in the last week or two, there's a lot more pubs got on board now because obviously they need to make money as well. And if there's no laws against it, then they're just going to go ahead and do it, you know.
Yeah, that's the problem, Patrick O'Donovan. They're allowed to do it. There's nothing stopping them. Only the Taoiseach said, please don't. But, you know, when you're looking at your bank balance.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to be fair now, and I come from a family that have licensed vintners in it. Anybody that's going to open up tomorrow in Dublin, in the full knowledge that you have a group of people that are going to turn up with anti-vax and anti-mask and anti-everything else and sell cocktails and pints. Any pub, any self-respecting licence holder that's going to stand inside a table tomorrow and hand out pints would want their head examined.
Nothing to stop them doing it, though.
I know, but a small bit of cop on, you know, you don't...
Yeah,
you
well, don't, I agree, you don't I agree with you there, yeah.
You don't need a licence to have a bit of cop on. And actually, to stand in front of a district court judge and get a licence, you need to prove that you have a bit of character and a bit of cop on. And if a guard or a superintendent can object to a person's licence being renewed, and I would say any self-respecting guard, when a licence of that nature is to be renewed in the district court, should stand up and say, Judge, this fella sold pints and cocktails in the middle of a protest. His licence shouldn't be renewed.
Mm-hmm. Aidan, when it comes to the rules around this, you say there could be 1,000 people standing on South William Street and yet you can't have 25 people in the pub.
Yeah, exactly. look, there's no public toilets in the city centre, which is another problem. There's no control. If youngs and youngflers are going down to South William Street and Dame Lane, they're going to socialise. They're not going to stick within their two or three friends. Boys and girls are going to mix together. That's human nature, you know. So
yeah, but there'll be a heavy Garda presence there tomorrow. We know that. We've been told time and again that the Gardaí will be out in force.
Yeah, well, they'll have their hands full if there's another protest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guards don't want to be batting charge and people drinking old plastic glasses on the street, you know.
Okay. Is that what you really expect to see, that people will be in huge numbers drinking takeaway drinks from pubs?
Well, not if the publican has a bit of responsibility and cop on and says, I know the guards have approached some premises and said, would you try knocking on the head tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So the guards are delivering the government's message or trying to get a bit of control on it before that and kind of
all right,
and mad happens. But once the weather gets good, I mean, this is a free-for-all, you know.
Well, let's see what happens. Aidan, thank you very much. Aidan Brown, and also Minister Patrick O'Donovan. I want to turn now to behavioural economist Pete Lunn for more on this. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, Claire.
So the plea is for people to continue to follow the rules and to pull back from social interaction tomorrow. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day. The weather's going to be nice. Will people listen?
I genuinely don't know. We are yet again at one of those situations where we face something that's absolutely unprecedented. I mean, I think what I do know is that we're at a really crucial time in trying to fight this virus now. And we can see that the numbers have flattened somewhat and that there is a real risk of a fourth wave before we get the vaccine rolled out. So we're at this kind of crucial stage. And I think it would be a real shame if what we do is we relax too much and it will be a false economy. I mean, for want of sticking with it for a few more weeks and getting those numbers further down, we do serious damage to our summer and we end up locked down over summer, which I don't think anybody wants. So now really is a crucial time. It's a minority of people who are likely to push the rules and to break the rules, but we really don't want them to. And I think we need to be encouraging our communities and our families and friends to stick with it.
And what does the evidence show? Are people socialising more?
There's been some slippage in recent weeks. There's absolutely no doubt about that. It is a minority. I mean, to give you an idea of that, over a 48-hour period, half the population doesn't meet up with anyone from outside of their own household, and that includes meetings due to work. So the large majority of people really are sticking with it. I mean, another quarter is seeing one or two people from outside the household in that 48-hour period. So that's remained pretty solid over the last month or two. We're measuring that pretty accurately, and we'd be confident those measures are pretty accurate. There is a minority who are meeting up with more people, sometimes within people's homes, and where it's happening within people's homes, usually that doesn't involve wearing a mask. So over a 24-hour period, our estimates, so there's about 6% of the population having a close contact in someone else's house. Now, that is the biggest risk that we can see within the data, because we know in terms of how the virus transmits that that's a behaviour we really, really don't want to encourage. So while I can see from a sort of news point of view that the argument about pubs and takeaway in the streets is an important one to have, I would be more concerned actually tomorrow about people visiting other people's homes, drinking in other people's homes, spending time in other people's homes and having close contacts, because we can see that's happening already. I think on St. Patrick's Day, there's a danger that it happens more, and we can see that that's where transmission is likely to take place. So really, it is a question of getting that message out. Do not do that. That is the most high-risk thing to do. If you are going to meet up with another household, go for a walk, get outside, keep your distance, wear something celebratory and celebrate the day that's in it. But do not be in someone else's house drinking.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, is it totally clear, do you think, to people what you are allowed to do? Because Patrick O'Donovan explained to us there, you can meet another household, you can go for a walk, but don't sit on a park bench and have a latte.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's about keeping moving and keeping your distance, and that reduces the risk. And, you know, given the day that's in it, wear something celebratory, say hi to people you don't normally say hi to, get out and enjoy the day. But it's about keeping moving and keeping distance from people. And that's why the rule has always been one there that is put under the exercise heading, because it is about going for a walk and keeping your distance.
If someone's friends or family, if they're going to break the rules, if they're going to meet up, visit the homes, have a few drinks indoors, do exactly what you have said they should not do, should we call people out on that?
Yeah, and I've always encouraged that throughout the pandemic. I mean, I think the polite question or inquiry or suggestion that you're not going to go along with something, it can be very powerful. I mean, the behavioural science of this shows that we really worry about social disapproval from friends and family. So showing a little bit of that social disapproval if somebody is going to push the boundaries, I think, is an important thing to do. It's an important check on people's behaviour. And if someone asks you to do something you know you shouldn't be doing, just saying, look, I don't feel comfortable with this. And I think one of the things that we can say to each other now is we really are at a crucial time. I mean, this is a time where if we get this wrong now, it is an absolute false economy and we do terrible damage to each other's summers. It's not just ourselves, it's to each other's summers. Because if the disease gets back out of control and we face a fourth wave, it will take months to get it back under control. So it's about saying, look, this really does feel like a crucial time and we really shouldn't be doing it. And it's just about that kind of polite query and saying, look, I don't feel comfortable going along with this. I think given the stage we're at with this, you know, let's just be more careful. And that's a perfectly reasonable thing to say to any friend or family member, and to do it in a polite way. And what we know is where people do that, it really does have an impact.
Mm-hmm. Does it cause a row, though?
Well, it could. It could. And we do know that there have been rows. And, you know, that is a danger, which is why I say, you know, to do it politely and gently, or simply say that you're not happy to go along with it, you know, which is in itself a signal about the appropriateness of the behaviour. But social disapproval in any kind of collective action problem is a really important part of the social glue that makes people stick more together. There are always going to be a minority who will try to push the boundaries and do things that are more selfish, essentially, and the rest of us have to keep them in check. And we know that from the nature of these kind of problems.
When we see the schools going back, though, the weather getting a little bit better, there are more people back working in their workplaces. We know that from the movement evidence that we have been given by NPHET. Do you think patience is close to being lost with level 5?
I don't actually. I mean, we can see that people are tired of the restrictions. Of course we can. But one of the interesting things is that the people who say they're most tired of the restrictions compared to the people who say they're least tired of the restrictions doesn't make any difference to their behaviour. And you might think that sounds really odd, but that's what we see in the data. And the reason is because when you ask the more important question to them and you say, actually, what's more important to you, the burden of putting up with these restrictions or stopping the spread of the disease, overwhelmingly people say stopping the spread of the disease. So just because we're feeling tired and we're getting tempted doesn't necessarily mean that we change our behaviour. And we can see that in the data. The crucial thing really is to understand what you can do, what you can't do, and to really try to stick with it and get the longer term view that if we can get the disease under control and get the numbers further down, then we get more freedom, you know, and potentially we get a much better summer.
Pete, thank you very much. Pete Lund there, behavioural economist. Let's take a break.